Hey everybody, welcome to the Smoke and Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Mack Weldon, where their mission is simple, to make sure all your basics and beyond are smartly designed and that shopping for them is easy and convenient. You see, Mack Weldon was upset at how annoying it was to choose, buy, and enjoy underwear, right? So they started from scratch. They engineered their own fabric, they engineered their own designs, and the fit is in the details, so they obsessed over every stitch and seam until they reached their definition of perfect. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor, which is great if you're traveling and you like packing light, or if you go to the gym, or if you're like me and you live in a car. You know, if it's me you're talking about shopping for, I like very soft things. You look through my wardrobe and you consistently find soft stuff, and Mack Weldon has the soft stuff covered. High quality and soft typically go hand in hand, which I appreciate very much about Mack Weldon. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com. Use promo code SMOKINGTIRE. That's go to MackWeldon.com and use promo code SMOKINGTIRE for 20% off your first order at Mack Weldon. We're also brought to you by Blue Driver. The Blue Driver scan tool is the easiest and most effective way to understand your vehicle. Just plug the Blue Driver sensor into your car or truck, open the Blue Driver app on your phone, and boom! In seconds, you're learning about any issues your vehicle might have. Not only can Blue Driver tell you why your check engine light is on, it can find hidden issues that can normally only be detected by professional mechanics' tools. Best of all, after you discover a problem, Blue Driver will suggest verified fixes for the issue. Then you can fix the problem yourself or head to the garage armed with knowledge. Either way, you're going to save time and money. Blue Driver is powerful enough for a mechanic, but easy enough for anyone to use. That's why it's the best-selling scan tool on Amazon. Order one for yourself or give it as a gift. The holidays are just around the corner, and Blue Driver makes a great gift for the auto enthusiast or DIYer in your life. For a limited time only, take advantage of the special offer and visit BlueDriver.com/TST. That's BlueDriver.com/TST to get 10% off the Blue Driver today at BlueDriver.com/TST. And we've got the Thinkware Dash Cam. Their latest and best dash cam, the U1000, is now available. Able to capture clear and crisp videos of your drive, the U1000 is the very first two-channel dash cam in the world to boast a native 4K UHD front cam and a 2K QHD rear resolution. In addition to its amazing video quality, the U1000 can also save you money with its speed and red light camera alerts, or make you a safer driver with lane departure and front collision warnings. With convenient remote live view and parking impact cloud alert features, you can instantly check on your car or be notified of potential hit and runs. The U1000 and Thinkware's full range of dash cams are available online and in-store at Thinkware.com, Best Buy, and Amazon in the U.S. and Canada. But check it out. Go to Thinkware.com and use code SMOKE20, that's S-M-O-K-E-2-0, SMOKE20. You'll get 20% off any regular-priced Thinkware dash cam. Code SMOKE20, S-M-O-K-E-2-0, will get you 20% off any regular price Thinkware dash cam at Thinkware.com. Lastly, it's about race chip, folks. Is your car turbocharged or supercharged? Take advantage of the fact that manufacturers are leaving it on the table, people. RaceChip is from Germany. You get it at racechip.us. Here's what you can think, what you can look forward to with a RaceChip. Healthy increase in power and torque up to 30%. You've got better fuel economy as well. This is where your computer controls really matter in your car, folks. They do more than 30 dyno runs per vehicle, plus tests on the racetrack and the Autobahn, right? RaceChip is TÜV approved. It's harder to get that than to get approval in the U.S., and TÜV is usually accepted in the U.S. It's plug and play, 15 minutes it goes in. They don't change any of the engine protection mechanisms in the car. They don't modify the ECU itself, and if you want to take it out, it's easy. You go right back to stock, just a few minutes to uninstall. Okay, you get up to a 5-year warranty and 30-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you do. Go to racechip.us. That's RACECHIP.US, racechip.us, and get use code SMOKINGTIRE. Code SMOKINGTIRE, all one word, to get 10% off your order at RaceChip. Code SMOKINGTIRE at racechip.us. All right, folks, on this episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast, we've got Brad Silnutzer and Joey Orton. These are the creators, writers, choreographers, and stars of the Fast and Furious musical parody appearing off-Broadway here in Los Angeles at the Dynasty Typewriter Theater. Tickets are on sale for their November 8th performance. I will be there with Zach. Get them, folks. Brad Silnutzer and Joey Orton on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
What up? Smoking Tire Podcast in the evening. If you're with us for the second time today, welcome back. Hannah's here.
Hello.
My wife back in the studio. My wife, you can not rent her, but you can buy later today. All right, fine. This is going
to
be a
I
long
can't
show.
Wait to be on a podcast a and watch a marriage dissolve show. In front of my eyes.
And we've got Brad, is it Silnutzer?
Yeah,
Silnutzer?
Nailed it. Silnutzer.
Brad Silnutzer and Joey Orton, the creators of the Fast and the Furious parody, musical parody. Parody musical?
Musical parody. Musical parody.
Musical parody. Completely unaffiliated with, unendorsed by, and probably they're not very happy with you either, the actual movie people.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, we got a weird email.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Did you?
Oh, yeah, but they just...
A weird email? Just one?
One weird email. It wasn't weird. It was very official. And it had pictures from my Instagram, and it said, please don't use our fonts. But that was the only thing we had done wrong.
That's it, the fonts.
Yeah, and they showed up at the show.
Yeah, we were
really?
There for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, that was shit-faced. Absolutely
remember
shit-faced.
We were there.
And who is they? Oh, I thought that was a joke.
No, it was their marketing department. It wasn't their legal team, but it was their marketing department.
Oh,
and they heckled us. They were screaming at us from the audience. Like everything we got wrong, they would just yell it out.
Well, we would like
you got things factually wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a parody. Yeah, it's a joke. They would yell out during setups, and they would kind of yell the punchline because they'd be like, Dominic Toretto would never do that. And we'd be like, yeah, that's the joke.
Yeah, it's a parody. Yeah.
That's fucking great. Well, Anna and I went to see it because our friend Claire Berger, her son's girlfriend is Charlize Theron.
Oh, wow.
What's her name, the actress?
Frankie Miller.
Frankie. And she was fucking great.
Yeah.
And you guys were hilarious.
Thank you.
You each play like four parts.
I play like... four or five parts.
Yeah, yeah. I'm mostly just a car. I pretty much stick to that.
Yeah, but that's very important.
Yeah, no,
you're
no,
a good
no,
car.
Sure. I try to be.
You sing about being a good car for 4.5 minutes.
Yep.
It feels like you thought the song was too long.
Yeah.
No. That's a fucking good song. Yeah. I hate musicals. I've walked out.
Oh, wow.
I've walked out of at least 50% of the musicals that I've walked into.
Wow.
But I really, really enjoyed your musical.
And he made it 3/4 of a way through.
Almost all the way. No, it was fucking great. So how do you decide to do a Fast and Furious musical parody? Because a lot of work goes into this. It's beyond just a goof at this point.
Yeah. It
started as a goof.
We wrote a song. Here's what happens.
What song did you write?
Quarter
Is it still
life
around?
Crisis. Yeah. The first song that we wrote was the opening number that takes you through the entire series, basically, up until the 8th movie.
That's like the Bohemian Rhapsody of... No, it's the scenes from an Italian restaurant of parody musical songs.
Yeah, and Brad has always wanted to do musical stuff. The only issue is he's tone deaf.
But I have the heart of a musical theater
kid. He has the heart
kid.
Of a musician.
like, do you see this?
Yeah.
My being is Spirit Fingers.
That's Brad is like, the Rudy. Like a Billy Crystal.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Brad's like Rudy,
who's known
but
for
of
his
musicals.
A Billy Crystal, that is the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me in sincerity. I mean, he's a very talented man, but not known for his looks.
Yeah, so the original idea the first idea we talked about was called Nicolas Cage, A National Treasure, and it was about Nicolas Cage's life getting so bad.
I'm buying tickets to that, too. Can I buy tickets to that right now?
Yeah, he had to take a part in the National Treasure musical, but the issue is National Treasure makes no sense. Like, if you watch the movie, it's just like... Like, there was nothing there, so we
settled
on Fast.
Don't you talk shit about my second favorite film franchise.
Oh, wow.
One, I don't endorse what Joey just said at
all. Really?
I think it's a work of art.
I think National Treasure rules, and I don't care how shit it is, it rules. In the same way Fast and the Furious rules for being such shit.
Yeah, oh, it's the
best.
Yeah, but then we wrote one song, and then we made the mistake of writing a second song, and once you have two Fast and the Furious songs, it's like... You have a whole musical or you have nothing. It's like you can't drop a Vin Diesel EP.
Yeah,
you know?
There's no EP musical.
Yeah. It's like RCA Records, what up, you know?
Hey, what's up? We have one song. It's called The Plot of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah.
And here's a second song. It's from the perspective of a car.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, actually, because it's you don't like, it's not a satirization of the plot of the first film. It's like all seven of the first movies in a 10 to 12 minute opening bit that's like epic.
Yeah.
With like a lot going on. And then kind of like the eighth movie, right?
Is that an accurate description?
No, it is an accurate description. Right. The reason for that is we didn't expect to write a full musical. So we expect to have this one song that was about the whole franchise. And when you get to the end of that song and you decide to write a musical, you're like, well, it's easiest to just cut off the most recent movie and make a musical about that.
Yeah, and then we had to watch that movie like maybe five or six times to have any idea of what was going on.
It is really difficult. Yeah.
No, it's because at one point you have the Charlize Theron character just do nothing but explain the plot of the film as it actually appears in the film.
We don't even cover the whole film.
Oh, yeah, we skip like the homing. Like, Dom's plan is basically like... I mean, it's really the whole. It's hard to explain, but basically, He gets his baby stolen.
That he doesn't know he has. The premise of the eighth movie, is that Dominic Toretto, Vin Diesel, has had a baby from three movies ago that he doesn't know that he has.
Yeah, and so that baby gets stolen. Then Charlize Theron shows Dom that, and he goes, "Oh my God, I'm under mind control." Right. And so then,
I feel like
once,
Maury Povich wrote this script.
And so the crazy thing is, so Charlize Theron's plan is to unleash a nuclear bomb and blow it up, and then everyone will go, Charlize Theron is now the leader of the world, and she'll make whatever changes she thinks are appropriate.
It's also very clear that Charlize Theron only worked on this movie for about 3 days, because she is in the same location the entire time.
Yeah, she's just on
her plane. She leaves her plane, and her plane has X-Men rules, right? Governments can't find it. Nobody can see her plane, because she's such a good computer hacker. And how do we know that? She has dreads.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, Charlize has the baby. Dom's under mind control. And so instead of trying to steal the baby back, which is on the same plane that Dom himself is on, he decides to unleash a nuclear bomb and then like blow up the nuclear bomb before it can get out. Instead of just taking back the baby. And he thought that that would be easier.
Anyway, none of that is in our musical about the eighth movie because it is too hard to explain.
No, but having Charlize Theron just explain it just in a linear fashion makes it so ridiculous that you go, how did this even get fucking greenlit, this piece of
the
shit?
The craziest thing about this movie, too, is they tried to add Charlize as Thanos in this eighth movie because they're like, oh, also, we didn't tell you this, but she's been in charge of the last three plots from the last three movies. Oh, that one gang that you guys battled against? That was Charlize's gang.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's the evidence of that? It's like, well, we just told you that it was. That's all we got. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fucking so good.
In the first song, we have this joke where basically we're talking about like all the people who get on, who are in the, you know, franchise, and we say, we had Tyrese and Ludacris, you know, because we need some black guys in this. Dwayne Johnson is new on the block, 2001, he's still The Rock. Then we had Kevin Hart, and we didn't know this, but they actually added Kevin Hart.
Yeah, he was in Hobbs and Shaw. Our musical came out before Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, that was supposed to just be a joke, but I think that we have kind of like infiltrated the heart of Fast and the Furious. Like, we understand, they understand
us. They're now under your mind control.
They understand us, and we understand them, and we are one.
Yeah. Well, it's like
not legally.
The trajectory is just so predictable at that point.
Yeah.
I did like that you had all those characters played by women, which was actually kind of subversive and cool.
wasn't even
the, not
we,
intentional.
We wish it was intentional because it is subversive and cool. But really, what happened is we refused to succumb to male mediocrity. We couldn't have we had way better women try out for the play the men. And we're not going to cast worse people in this. And so it's just a lot of women in bald caps. And let me tell you,
Ludacris is a woman. Yeah. Tyrese is a woman.
Jason
and
Statham, The Rock.
Yeah. I mean, we have the most.
Oh yeah, there's Jason Statham and The Rock. It's fucking awesome.
We have the most amazing cast. And believe, you know, when we were starting, this just started with Brad and I, like, in my room, being like, we're writing this Fast and the Furious
musical.
Which,
it was as hot as it sounds.
Yeah. Hard nipples, you know, fast cars. And it's like, so you post on the internet, and you're like, we need 3 months of 4 days a week plus of rehearsals for a free Fast and the Furious musical. You in?
Yeah.
And that's how you have to get a cast. It's difficult. So we just took the best.
Oh, I thought you were about to tell me that you got like 400 responses.
We got a lot of responses. Did you? Not 400, but
enough.
And yeah, they're really good.
Actually, Jason Statham looks an awful lot like Jason Statham in this.
You know what I'm going to tell
it's
her? You said so.
Pretty fucking creepy in this picture.
The eyebrows, the stern eyebrows are great.
I pretty much all the money we make goes to bald caps.
Every single actor nailed their character,
I think so,
pretty much perfectly. Tyrese was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's much closer to Team America than it is to Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You know what I mean?
Like, you named my two favorite films, so that makes me feel good.
Yeah. Mine too. No,
but my favorite part about the women in bald caps is watching their boyfriends and or husbands see them for the first time in a bald cap and realize that they're into a new thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, what a fucking great thing. So wait, have you ever put on a play before?
Nope. I started my second grade play. I was the grouper.
Yes.
Guess what it was called? The fucking grouper. That's right.
Yes.
I was the grouper. It was written by a kid. It was about a power-hungry fish who wanted oil. It didn't make a lot of sense.
You know, it's a Jewfish is also a giant grouper. I think there's something to that.
That's why I got it. Typecast.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Dang.
Didn't take long for this to get anti-Semitic. Let's do this.
I'm a Jew. I was thinking that the anti-Semite wrote it.
Damn, you're big for a Jew.
I know, right? And hairy.
Bear Jew.
Well, no, Jews are hairy.
There's
some hairy Jews out there.
No, look, I have my bar mitzvah bracelet on. 11/12/94.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I'm not just Jew. I'm Jewish.
This is the Jewiest I've ever sounded. Today is the anniversary of my bar mitzvah. 10/23.
Nice.
Is it the 23rd? Oh, thank you.
It's the 23rd.
I became a man on this day.
What year?
I don't remember the year of my bar mitzvah. When was I 13? 86. So 99.
Oh, there you go.
I'm still a Jewish boy.
Help me lift him in the chair.
I was 22 and a half when you had your bar mitzvah.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Half birthday.
Yeah. I didn't know for a really long time whether or not I was circumcised because I didn't know if, like, they cut something off and I arrived at where I was at or if they cut something off from what I got, you know? Anyways, mood change.
He made me check.
Yeah.
I was the one who confirmed that he was, in fact, circumcised. Yeah. I told you the first songwriting session was hot.
You got to just go to a sauna in a YMCA or something. You can just do a little quick scale over.
Buy a tiny bald cap with the money from the
Actually, all of our bald caps are made out of Joey's foreskin.
Yeah.
All right. Was that too gross?
Too gross.
Nah.
So how did you guys, you went idea, then you wrote the song, and then you just built and built and built. But if you've never, neither of you had written a play before, have you seen a lot of them? Did you just read up on a story structure?
You know, we went in blind.
Yeah,
we had no idea what we were doing, and it was just like when we started, we were like, "This is gonna take 3 weeks. We're gonna get this done in 3 weeks, and we're gonna have a performable 20-minute musical." And 7 months later, like
we had a performable 2-hour-long musical,
exactly.
And my wife had left me.
Yeah,
really?
No. I was single.
Oh, wow. Keep that story though.
Yeah,
that's good.
Isn't that good?
It works.
My wife left me for my masterpiece. Which is Fast and the Furious musical parody, which is my life's work till this point.
Yeah, I remember one of my favorite Scheidenfraud stories ever is a guy who was so obsessed with building like flyable model airplanes, like the crazy ones that are powered by like jets and stuff. And he had built a 747 that had like a 20-foot wingspan. It was enormous. I mean, it was the size of a truck. And all his life resources went into it. His wife left him. He had to sell his house to fund the stupid thing. It took off and crashed into a tree like 500 yards off.
No.
So one of the best YouTube videos ever. They tell you the backstory, and then it's made in flight. And then it's just a huge fireball.
I will definitely watch this later. For sure. The real thing
RC
we learned...
jet crashes is amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Because people don't die, but the fireballs are still really big.
I like to think that, you know how the YouTube algorithm will slowly radicalize people? I would like to think that I will slowly get radicalized by these RC jets exploding.
Yeah.
You will.
The thing that we learned from this is, one, that you can do dumb things if you want to, but also when you're like kind of in a creative rut, if you're like a person who works creatively, like do the dumb things you think of.
Yeah.
Like that's really what it is.
Yeah.
Nobody does. You get so bogged down by trying to make it in your career professionally. So me with comedy and comedy writing and Joey with music, that doing the dumbest thing we could think of was the best thing we could have
done. Yeah. It was just like,
that's good advice.
Follow the excitement, because, you know, I'm sure Brad has his version of this, but in the pop music world, like you're working with a label and you literally can send 100 songs, and every time they go, oh my God, this is great, send us another one, and nothing comes out, right? And it's just like, as soon as you go, fuck everyone, I'm going to do what I want to do, is when you see results, when you start moving tickets, when things start working out.
Yeah,
for
your
you.
Background is like commercial type pop music, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if commercial is meant in a mean way.
No, it's not meant in a mean way.
If it was commercial, he would have made more money from it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, but I've done some like literal work for commercials and stuff like that, and I found that every time I try, like, because once you start hearing that industry in your ear, you're like, oh my God, like, I'm going to fucking make it. But as soon as you start following that, it never fucking works out. Like, Brad, that's been your experience too.
I sold TV pilots. I've done things, and like nothing, and it stopped bringing me joy. Yeah. And so I just had to make what I would call high art in Fast and Furious. But no, it's true. It's like, you know, anything.
Yeah, but sometimes like the simplest stuff that's just like hits the right sequence of funny at the right time is like better than anything else you could do.
Yeah.
I've done the worst TV pilots ever. I've done unwatchable fucking television pilots. I'm so glad they didn't get made.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the fakest build shows you can ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys, we have to get this thing fixed by Friday. It's completely just
dude. So I honestly, I was like, what thing? I'm so in. Yeah. You totally. You could totally star in one of those shows.
Oh, yeah. And they keep asking, and I keep wanting to make good television. Uh-huh. And every meeting, at certain point, they stop listening and they pivot. And they're like, do you have like 3 or 4 friends you could get together and have like a garage and sort of like build and flip things?
Is that why you brought us here?
Yeah. Because let me tell you this, I can fix stuff.
Oh my God, that bicep was way bigger than I was expecting. Hold on, show that again.
That was pretty good.
I'm the muscle.
Wow, that's pretty good, bro. That was nice.
Thanks. Yeah. So it's a bunch of Jews in a garage, right?
It's called Jew Raj. It's called I hire someone for this.
Yeah. We all just keep calling different handymen to help us out.
That's too expensive. Are you crazy?
I don't wrench on Shabbos.
Yeah.
That was a great John Goodman.
I've seen a lot of Lebowski. I just broke my pen. Fucking Royal Gemstones is killing it.
Oh,
right
my
now.
God. So good.
Killing it. Danny McBride plus John Goodman.
I had a thought, and it's gone now.
Fucking.
Oh, but I've made that pilot. I've been on that. So I used to run this comedy show called Brouhaha, the Comedy Show Drinking Game. It's still around. I recommend checking it out on YouTube. We have some that we threw out there with Thrillist. But MTV wanted to make a pilot with us, and we were like, cool, we're going to get to make our comedy show into a show. Nope. Instead, it was us traveling around throwing our comedy show, and they'd be like, literally our fights that we would have on this reality show were like, the stage isn't big enough. What are we going to do?
It's the worst.
Yeah.
All that stuff is just, it drives you insane. You want to like quit and make this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this, even if I don't make any money, this is way more fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, we spend the money very stupidly. Like, we could be like, don't look at me like that.
I think we spend it very wisely.
No, we spend it great. We spend it great, but like the bald caps, the fucking mics, everything, we just want the show to be as good as possible, so we lose tons of money even though we sell out every time.
I've also been spending a lot on cocaine, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's a new thing we're trying.
Wait, so, okay. Well, you decide we're going to put on a mute, and then you write a script, and then you, I guess, hold auditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what? And then you have a show. Do you just market it from zero yourself, from nothing?
I mean, no, first you got to rehearse. And when you rehearse, you need to not have anyone find out you have no fucking idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
So our first rehearsal was like, you know, we just had no idea, you know, we just had to fake it till we make it. And we had our three girls show up for the, like, you know, kind of trio girl group moment. And we had like voice memos of the harmonies. And thankfully we made it through. But, you know, a lot of it was just hoping no one saw through the facade of how fucking
did anybody?
We
I felt like we knew what we were doing the entire time. I don't know what this guy's talking about. I'm like, we're geniuses. No, we have a vision.
We lost our lead.
Oh, we lost our lead. Yeah, really early.
Oh, yeah.
We had a different lead. And then,
Because of unprofessionalism or because of...
No, it was because he was a loser and didn't see how smart we were.
Exactly. No, it just didn't work out. So that was a stressful moment. But no, everyone kind of bought into rehearsals. We kind of find buying people food. Like, that's it. If you buy people food, they'll show up.
Like, I'll love you forever for this tiny glass of whiskey you've
exactly.
given me.
But it's a large.
Yeah, it's a large.
It's the really the scale. What you don't, it's like 4 ounces of whiskey. You just don't see it because it's in a 32-ounce jug.
That's true, yeah. If you filled this entire jug with whiskey and I drank it, I would fight you by the end of the
I
podcast.
Know. It's good content.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, should we do that?
Make a note for next time.
Yeah.
How do you decide to make sets? How do you figure any of this out?
All kismet, man. So I've like worked in like we just it's all favors from friends and people buying in and people everyone's
I'm so
reaction
interested in the nuts and bolts of how you put something like this together.
So it's like I freelance produce, right? I've produced things for a while and I freelance produce commercial photo shoots, and there was a person who's run art on my photo shoots before who was just moving to LA, and she's brilliant. I was like, hey, we got this little thing that we're doing, and she's like, yeah, I'd be maybe interested in that.
Well,
I
we
just
have to do a
here.
Whole pitch. Like, we have to show up, and every time you want to get someone on board, you're just like so fucking nervous if they're gonna hate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
the only two people who've heard it up to this point are me and Brad, and we are very positive people. So every idea we have, we're like, we're both geniuses, but then you actually have to show someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so she came in, like the art and set person came in and was just like bought in completely and did all of that for us for nothing. And she's a genius and she regrets it. No, she's having a great time. She had a nervous breakdown. But it was just a series of people enjoying what we were doing. And I think everybody, it's like with anything, it's why people even like your podcast. It's like people crave community, right?
Yeah.
People crave community around things that they're passionate about. So we were doing something kind of cool and different within this musical theater slash arts world. And so anybody who was wanting to be a part of something like that was like, I found it.
That's great.
It became a little home for them. And it's weird because we keep like apologizing to everyone, being like, I'm so sorry, this was so much of your time. And they're like, this has given my life some meaning for a period of time.
Yeah.
Maybe not that much, but it was at least fun.
But I guess you plan what? To do it once and then just keep adding shows. And now we're on what, four?
Yeah, I mean, we're about to do our fifth, and we've sold out all four, which is amazing. The first one...
you said you changed it a lot after the first one.
Yeah, sometimes you make your Fast and the Furious musical about systemic oppression. Yeah. It becomes a little heavy-handed.
Yeah, so you kind of... In the musical, the cars are alive, and in the first one, I mean, and still now, you kind of feel like you realize the cars are oppressed. You know,
yeah, the
like,
cars are
they
the
get
slaves,
exploded,
the humans.
And they're,
we
you know,
were way more direct with that in the first run. And let me tell you, people the
hated
only way,
it.
We had this song that you did not hear because you came to it once we did our rewrites, but it was called Accidental Vehicle of Oppression.
Yeah. And, which is a great pun. Like, why did people hate it?
And the only way I can describe the audience's reaction is stunned silence.
Stunned silence. And I'm like, in that song, I was parked. I don't sing. I'm just parked in my car on stage looking out at, you know, 200 blank hate, like hate-filled hate.
It's a real long 3 minutes.
And I was like, oh,
oh
no.
This was our longest song. We were dealing with heavy topics.
You were very happy after.
Oh, I loved it. As a comedian, I love making people uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
do
as
you, like,
a pop
lean
musician.
Into the bomb? You feel like that? Yeah, yeah. You live by that mantra? Yeah.
No. We're too soft as pop musicians. I was like, oh my God, like what happened? And Brad was like, I fucking loved it. Fuck no.
These guys were all like, we really fucked up. And I'm like, I think it was genius.
Yeah.
Andy Kaufman would have really approved of that.
Yeah. Well, it's like, there's something funny to me about having this really joyful, like, hour musical where all you're just like singing and singing cars and Vin Diesel, blah, blah, blah. And then just out of nowhere being like, this is what it was really about.
Yeah.
And people just be like, a what? Oh, and we're, no. we had this whole verse about gentrification, but we're in a very recently gentrified neighborhood where we are doing this musical. It's actually a neighborhood that's still battling for which side is going to win. And it's a bunch of, you know, people who go to musical theater, you can imagine what that person, and they felt bad. Yeah, we made them feel bad.
People felt, quote unquote,
they walked out of the theater like, huh.
I think the word we got the most was attacked. People felt attacked. So.
Yeah, my dad flew in, and we went to Vegas afterwards, and we're sitting there drinking whiskey, playing blackjack, and he just turns to me, and he's not a man of many words. He's a brilliant man, and I love him to death, but he turns to me, and he just goes, you guys attacked me.
That's a...
Well, one of my favorite parts of the setup, like when you guys were talking at the beginning, was when you very politely asked the audience not to leave at the end of Act One, mm-hmm. because most people just thought the play was over then.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we've never written a play before, and... In our defense, they're like, so we watched like three. We're like, this should be enough. And one of them was Into the Woods. And at the end of the first act of Into the Woods, you're like, this fucking thing's over. So we did that. Turns out people don't like Into the Woods. And they're like, that's a bad idea.
I was in Into the Woods in high school.
Oh,
were
really?
You?
Yeah. It was the thing. I don't remember who I
played. High school version, they don't do the second act. Because the second act, everyone, like, the, like, ladies, like,
that's very
everyone
funny.
Dies and, like, it gets really fucked up.
It turns
up.
Into, like, the Donner Party.
Yeah.
That's the part that I like.
There ain't nobody party like the Donner Party.
We only do the second act in college. My theater group, we only do the New Testament. we call the second half of Into the Woods. Yeah.
I only do the Third Testament, which is Mormonism.
Oh my God! Wait, how do we start on this? Oh, what got cut off was the depressing song that got cut off.
You know, I think it was important, and I'm still fighting to get it back in there.
No, yeah. We replaced it with something that has the same message that is a little less heavy-handed. Instead of, because like there was a point in that song where one of our actors literally points at everyone in the audience, and when we did it in rehearsal. Murdered.
Hilarious.
But in it's like, how can you make silence more silent? That's kind of what happened.
The part of it was about gentrification. Another part was about, you know, how iPhone use is being complicit to slavery. And, you know, we all have iPhones.
Yeah. It was
what
okay.
What did it get replaced with?
Fuck the Good Guys.
Oh, yeah.
That song.
Oh, yeah.
Which
it's
I think.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
It's more of a bop for sure.
Yeah, but now. Yeah. Now, instead of like you gentrifying this particular neighborhood that we're in, it's like the Ninja Turtles gentrified the sewers, mm-hmm. which was a Brad line. Props to Brad.
Is there any clips on the Instagram? I wish we had a couple clips to play. Man. That would be like super ideal right now. I feel like if we were on morning radio, we'd have clips.
Dang.
Sorry, we could have put together some clips.
No, I just thought of it now.
Is this a clip?
Is that a clip?
That's
oh my God, these guys, this fucking, the dude who played.
He's a genius, man. Matt O'Brien. Genius.
What's that guy's name? He's Canadian.
Yes, he is Canadian.
I could see his Canadian-ness from 100 feet away.
You could tell he was a pussy from
he
that
was
far.
He was right out of like Canadians. Broken Lizard.
Yeah, he's a genius.
So we're talking about the, what do you call these guys?
Wacky Tube Man.
Wacky Tube Man, the guys who fucking flail their arms outside car dealership. His Wacky Tube Man moves were.
So good.
Well, absolutely incredible.
Well, basically, you know, in the first one, the Wacky Tube Man was supposed to be just a little side character, but people loved Tube Man so much. He was kind of the favorite character.
We fucking get Tony for that.
So we wrote him a whole song.
No, and he nailed it so bad. He's got like a lot of like Weird Al happening there. Like,
yeah.
That guy's got a fucking career, right?
Yeah.
Has he done other things?
Well, he's the only other... So he and I are the only two stand-up comedians in it. So he's a comedian and a sketch actor and really brilliant.
Yeah.
Like he's got a good comedic mind.
Look at this guy's Tube Man dance. It's really good.
See, it's Fast and the Furious canon.
It's fucking great, man.
Yeah, and he kind of explores like, what if, you know, he's a wacky tube man, but what if he's more than wacky? You know, what would that mean?
So much of our musical is about identity.
It's
and
about
who we
identity.
Really are.
You don't have to have seen Fast and the Furious. I mean, it helps, but I'd say half of our audience has never seen it.
The thing is, so many people, like, I guess what's interesting to me is you guys, like, made a play about a thing. You like didn't really know how to make a play, but you made the thing. And then the audience, remember, we were sitting there and everyone around us was talking about how they'd never seen Fast and the Furious.
They yeah, which like, is crazy. I see here? Them all opening weekend.
Yeah. Hey, you had never seen the first one.
I had never seen the first one. I had really? Seen all of them except the first one.
That's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it seemed like we were surrounded by like a theater crowd and not
mm-hmm. Fast
Fast and the Furious fans, which well, was
we,
hysterical.
We had one night that randomly had like the hardcore Fast people, yeah. And it was weird because a whole different set of jokes like popped off.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Because we there are
you
Fast
can,
jokes
you can
in
tell because we have a lot of Fast and Furious jokes in there. We love, I mean, yeah. We love, I think it's the most important movie series of all time.
The
I will go on
the typecast song is fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And extremely socially observant. Extremely. Yeah.
Thank
like,
you.
I don't even know how we can share that with a radio audience right now.
But they just got to come see the
shit?
Show November
sorry,
8th.
I taxed your fucking booze. I'm sorry. How about this?
You can share by, you know, as if they come out, they can find out for themselves. Yeah.
What are you pointing
There's
at?
A cup on the fridge for you.
There's a cup on the fridge?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh, yeah, but my headphones aren't going to survive. It's okay. We're good. We're good. No worries. This is like a... perfect. Did you hand paint this?
Someone did.
There's a Smoking Tire like logo on it, but it looks like it was done in, I don't know, Sharpie and Whiteout?
Yeah,
I think
it looks like Sharpie and Whiteout.
Sharpie yep. and Whiteout. I don't know who did it.
Someone
nail
made
polish.
That for me.
A goth, it was a goth snail polish?
Yeah, or maybe your middle school crush did it for
yeah.
you.
Maybe, yeah.
On the other side, there's just the S.
Yeah.
Oh, the cool yeah. S. Yeah. I saw there's a new one now. I saw there's the S, and then there's one that's kind of rounded, and then someone turned that S into like almost like a cartoony marshmallowy super S. No one knows what I'm talking about?
Okay. I don't know what you're saying. Are we talking about Superman? Or?
No, the fucking... You remember Sharpie? The S that people used to draw like in middle school?
Stussy?
No.
Different S.
But Rebecca Stussy was my first girlfriend in the fourth grade, and I still love her. Anyway, moving on.
That's a person's name?
Yeah, Becca Stussy.
Oh, really?
Rebecca Stussy.
Of the surf brand?
No.
Oh, no. Just unrelated?
You think someone from the Stussy company is going to date this short Jew? No.
I mean, why not?
I know, thank you.
Why not?
Thank you.
Famous people's
Billy
ugly
Crystal
daughters
had
date
a lot
everybody.
Of hot girlfriends. So.
People say I'm the Billy Crystal of
Fast and the Furious musicals.
Fast and the Furious musicals. Yeah.
Billy Crystal. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Can we talk about Cooking on High?
Yeah.
Because I want because before we started the show, because Joey was late.
Sorry.
Brad has worked. Both in front of and behind the camera on a lot of reality TV.
Yes.
And he offered up like little nuggets of good stories. And I love bad reality TV and good reality TV. But Cooking on High was a show in which you make food with weed.
Well, there were chefs that made food with weed. Then they had comedians and rappers and social media stars and musicians judge it. And I was one of the judges. And yeah, I got very high. I had a full blown panic attack because one of the chefs put too much weed butter into the I believe it was some sort of pasta dish that day, which I was being a good sport about anyway because I am gluten free and I ate the pasta dish and I ate it and then I full on was like, my reaction like if I can do a it didn't make it to the show but if I could do a
reenactment
like, hands on the table sweating. Waiting for my score for this dish. Can you guys can someone just turn down the lights a little bit? If you could just turn down the lights, I think it would be a better show if the lights were not. It just feels like the lights are hot. I had a full bone.
You're so sweaty. Yeah. You've got those stage lights on you.
Yeah.
I don't think people who've never stood in front of those lights can really understand how fucking hot those lights can be.
Yeah. I mean,
they always
they
try to make me wear like a leather jacket, too. They're like, you look cool in a leather jacket. I'm like, it's 1,000 degrees under those lights.
When you handle them, you have to wear like gloves. Yeah. And you go, well, I don't understand. And you walk over, you touch it, you go, oh, okay. I don't have a finger anymore.
So anyway, I hadn't been that into the weed at the point in time where I was doing the show. I was like, you know, I was doing a lot of comedy. I was drinking a lot, but I was not smoking a lot of weed. And so I trained for the show. So every day, like in the few days preceding the show, I was like, I would eat one Kiva berry.
Yes.
And then the next day I would eat two Kiva berries. And I would build up my tolerance.
I like
that. But I did not build up my tolerance enough because I did cry.
Didn't you get a lot of weird DMs after?
I got so many weird DMs. Let me tell you, a lot of gay teenagers in New Jersey were very into me.
Hey,
really? Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Gay New Jerseyans.
I'm from New Jersey, so maybe they could smell it.
I've gotten some really weird, like, bear.
Oh, I'm sure.
Too, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The complimentary. They're always very
nice.
They're always very nice, and then they turn left into super weird down at the end.
Yeah.
But, okay, do you think, because in L.A. now that in West Hollywood, they're allowing these, you know, the consumption lounges, mm-hmm. right? So you can go and you can blaze there, which is cool.
Yeah, which is really cool.
But they're also trying to have these, like, chef sort of pot dinners. I don't understand having a dinner that's just got weed in it, and then you go home, and you get home, you're just like yeah. head blown off, panic attack high. Like, can't we just like smoke and then just eat some great food?
I mean, that's like, and you're sounding very old right now.
I'm not, but like, I don't need my actual meal to ganja in it.
Our courses 3 through 5, just popcorn and ice cream, just alternating.
Like, I'm not the first trying to be cranky real. Old guy. Like, give me like a one little chocolate edible. Okay, now let's have a meal.
Yeah, no,
but
I'm with you.
I don't need every dish to have ganja in it.
Yeah, no, either do I. But I did it for money, and it was fun. because they would drive us there and back because we would get so high that we would not be able to drive ourselves. And one of the drivers on the way back, one of the days that I was on set, like, stopped the car and he went to drop me off and he just went, "Hey man, I just have to ask before you get out, are you okay?" And I was like, "What happened?" He's like, "You've been like gently like patting the side of." I was like touching the window a lot,
but
like,
I was doing
a mix of that. But also a mix of like it, like when somebody like in a movie like puts their hand against the back wall, and it was like there was no rain because it's California, but I was just yeah. It was
the
real
universal
dark.
Sign for I need out.
Uh huh. Yeah.
How many weeks or how many days of training did you have before you actually did it?
I trained for like 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh wow. All right. That's
you would
impressive.
Think that would be enough, but no,
it was not.
But
enough.
If you got straight, I mean, who the fuck knows? Were they measuring out the THC? Like, who even knows what you ended up with?
They were after the beginning panic that was experienced by some of us so that they could shoot a show. I was there every day because just in case
Chef
people
John,
freaked out.
Our judges all had panic attacks yesterday.
Wait,
for that,
you
you're going
to
be eliminated.
They freaked out? Or so were you there to step in?
I was there to step in just in case people freaked out. So I ate the food every single day because these chefs
wow.
were good.
Oh my God, they had backup judges.
I was the backup judge.
Panic attacks of the A judges? This is
yeah.
fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And let me tell you, I ate the food every single day, and every single day somebody would come up to me. I'll just be like off to the side waiting to step in if I needed to, you know, just like in case of emergency break class. But then every single day someone would come up to me, I'd be like, "I did it again." And I'd be like, "What?" I'd be like, "I ate too much of the food.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking about life and death, and am I breathing? Am yeah. I not breathing?"
The problem with edibles is that you can be hungry when mm-hmm. you eat them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so an edible, one like little thing, a Hershey Kiss or a fucking candy, what one should be a dose. There should never be a meal incorporation because
well, so they sell you like a whole cookie and it's like break into 6 pieces.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But no one does that.
Yeah, or
no one,
back in the day
enjoyable.
With the Chiba Chews where you had to fucking razor them shits off. It was like, "Oh, here's a Tootsie Roll. It's 100 milligrams.
Yeah.
Get a razor blade.
It was like a truffle.
Here's what I want to start.
A mandolin.
Yeah. I want to start a restaurant where it's all with there's mushrooms in them. It's like magic mushrooms.
Ooh. Well, that would be safe.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll have a similar issue, I think.
The drivers are going to have really interesting stories taking those people home,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, you would never drive them home.
I liked the mushroom chocolates back in the day, though.
Yeah,
I used
yeah.
to fuck with the mushroom chocolates. That made it a lot more bearable.
After you have the mushroom meal, you don't believe in cars.
Bro, I just walk the earth.
Yeah.
Do we have anything from the audience? What do we got on this here? Oh, we got a few questions from the audience. Get in the Super Chat if you're with us live and you got questions for Brad and Joey. I'm probably not just going to spend this time answering car advice questions, but if there are weird car advice questions in here, we'll save them for the later one.
Brad, what kind of car do you drive?
I drive a minivan.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good car.
I love my minivan.
What kind of minivan?
Oh my God, the whiskey. What type of?
It's a Sienna.
Dodge. No, it's a Dodge
Crown and Country
Caravan.
A Dodge Caravan?
Yeah, yeah, they're
nice.
The best.
Nice.
Because they have the stow and go seats.
They do. And also the Dodge Caravan, we believe, no shit, not making fun of you, not condescending at all. The Dodge Caravan Sport and the Chrysler Town and Country Sport, short wheelbase, have the best on-track dynamics of any minivan you can buy right now.
And that's what I've been saying.
Yeah,
that's what you can tell people.
He tells me that every day.
Every day, people are like, why do you drive a minivan? You got kids? And I'm like, I don't know,
maybe. Oh,
yeah,
look, here, that's our Dodge. That's us with a Dodge Caravan. Oh, that's a Town and Country? Is that a Town and Country? I think it was. We can play this YouTube video on YouTube because it's our YouTube video. How many views are on this stupid thing? 122,000 views. Wow, so we probably made like... at least what this minivan costs to rent. So that's me driving, and that's most of my friends.
That's pretty much all of us sitting
the
on the roof.
Of it.
Wow.
Standing on the roof.
Yeah. Now, this seemed like a very good plan at the time, until we realized that we had to then drive this van from Arizona back to Los Angeles immediately after doing this.
We left the air conditioning on while doing this, as you'll see.
Look at the fucking smoke coming out of the air vents.
Wow. Vents look like Snoop Dogg's face.
Oh my God.
Pouring smoke.
The power of the smoke coming out of the vents. It was the best.
We all got headaches on the drive home. We all felt terrible.
2012. Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Good van.
Good van, though.
Good van, yeah.
Where do you drive, Joey?
I live downtown,
uh-huh.
And I used to drive a GTI.
Okay, those are good.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
What happened to it?
Oh, I left it because I live downtown.
Oh, okay.
I left it in San Francisco, but I miss it.
That's where I left my heart.
Yeah.
And that's a song reference.
Is that where you're from there, yeah? You're from up north?
I'm from up north.
Nice.
There, exactly.
Well, they have good roads up there. When you go home, you can go drive like Alice's Restaurant, the 9, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, no. I love driving it up there, but not having it downtown is pretty sweet, I will
say. Yeah, downtown's not a good place to keep a car. Downtown would kill your car.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Full Octane Garage says, oh, where did I find such an awesome wife that lets me hang track silhouettes on the living room wall? Well played. I found her
so
on Tinder.
For
recommend
topic.
That.
Did you guys meet on Tinder?
We met on Tinder.
I met my ex on Tinder. She ruined my life.
Yeah. No. It's ruining your life.
It's currently ruining my life.
How many years later?
I don't want to talk about it. Okay. Half a decade of my life.
Yeah.
I know. Well, mine's going all right. My life's pretty good.
This is their 6-month anniversary.
It's our half anniversary, and also your half birthday.
Yes.
Tomorrow is Hannah's half birthday.
Aww.
It's
very
really
important
that
we're
going to
podcast till midnight so that it can be her half birthday.
Just a marathon.
Oh, and this is funny because the follow up question is a correct thing that says that I had the living room before I had the wife, which is true.
Yeah, but you didn't have rubber finger monsters on all of the lamps in the living room until
good
you
point.
Had the wife.
What was your guy's first? What was his first line on Tinder? Do you?
Oh, yeah.
He was the worst.
I was not good on Tinder.
He was like, hey.
No, it's
like
we
were just, one word.
And you were just that attracted to him that you were like.
She was like, I see where this is going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, no, I wasn't good on Tinder.
What was your first date then?
We went to James Beach, which is by my house.
Oh, yeah. I've been to James Beach.
But it's a real, like the key thing
famous
you said
famous for
is,
I love you man best tacos ever and I love you man, which is still on
but
the fucking
he chose
menu at
a
that place
that was by his house.
Yeah
right, like I mean also like yeah I went home with him and made out with him, but like that's not the point mm-hmm. is he made it mm-hmm. so convenient for himself.
Yeah,
like I had to schlep my cookies over there, pay for parking. I got some free fish out.
Wait,
of it
is
somehow,
your cookies
but...
a euphemism or is that?
Is that
no,
your boobs
me,
or your butt?
No, she brought me cookies.
Oh, literal cookies.
No, I had like
no.
a cookie bikini
no.
that
oh,
I'm
yeah,
wearing.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
got it, got it.
She's talking because
I also say my cookies, but I am not talking about my butt. You know,
yeah. Brad's a freckly
boy. I slept my cookies over to this podcast today.
It's amazing that A, she did any of the things that she's done with me, and B,
like make out,
yeah,
or?
Like all those things, up right up to marrying me and all those things. I'm shocked that any of those things that actually happened.
Yeah, she
really
seems
am.
Great.
She's
yeah.
very good.
It's lovely.
But also, I'm shocked I put up with her shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you though?
She decided she hated me today because
this is turning into a relationship.
I politely asked her to not drive the Jaguar into things.
No, that.
She was like, I knew to stop parking when the car hit the parking thing. And I was like, stop, pull up.
How much did you talk about cars on the first date?
Yeah.
I'd really try not to.
I make
a really big effort to not talk about cars around her.
But every picture on his Tinder was him in a car. Like, you know, could barely see his face, like helmet, but like
this is how
it was like
I
the equivalent of the girl's Halloween.
My best
picture.
Face is hidden. My best face is in a full face helmet and a race suit in a Lamborghini.
Taken from outside the car, looking at the back of the car.
And it's like a really artsy photo through the rearview mirror.
Exactly. Pensive, behind sunglasses.
Yeah,
it's the less you see of me, the better I really sell.
But I'd like to go back to the clarification on tapping the car into things. So, first of all, the only other time I ever tapped the car into something, but that's not the point.
Is it not?
No, it was a whole thing with my dad. There was like a lot going on.
I thought you just realized there was a story that wouldn't support your point.
No, it was just extraneous. No, but today's conversation, also very important, we had it while Matt was in the shower. I had to like open the shower door to tell him my very important
thing. Okay, this is hot. I'm getting
a
good picture.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, visualize this.
Loofah or no loofah? Just open this.
Blue loofah. I opened the door to...
On with it. We're broadcasting. Let's go.
I opened the door to discuss how men and women wash their personal bits.
Bow, bow, wow. No, keep going. I'm just going to make the music behind
this. The whole point being is that in the Delica, the other car that we have at the moment.
We have a Japanese van.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese van where you sit very close to the front. And Matt's always saying,
it also washes your asshole while you drive.
It has all the features of the toilet built into the driver's seat.
No, but Matt always says I don't pull it into parking spots far enough because, like, I'm not used to being so far forward.
It's like a cab. It's what you call a cab over where you're sitting on the front wheels and you kind of hang over like an old 80s van, a Toyota van. But Hannah is used to driving normal cars that have a schnoz.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't get close to things in front. She leaves a giant gap because she's used to there being a schnoz that isn't there.
But so now I have...
A schnoz again.
And
we've gone back to her old nose.
a rare song for a Jewish chick, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a schnoz again.
But so I pulled into my first parking spot today with it, and
literally into it.
And I said, like, oh, it's not as, you know, easy as the Delica.
It's very hard.
And Matt asked if I scraped it, and I said, no, I didn't scrape it along the spend thing. I tapped it. And then Matt politely asked me not to tap the cars against anything.
I mean, that's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Just don't tap the car.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. Let's get out of this topic. I'm tired of it. Yes.
Yes, no. You over
yes,
there.
Brad.
No, I got nothing. We can move on.
No, whatever.
Yeah,
poke
this bear a little
here,
bit.
Hannah, this one's for you. JJ says, as a non-car enthusiast, what's your favorite press car I brought home recently?
Favorite?
Did you like any of them?
I really didn't like that one. The real low. What was
the
one
BMW?
The
gold one?
Yeah, that had to roll out of the sides. Yeah.
So you know the BMW i8, the futuristic BMW?
Yeah.
It looks futuristic, but it's kind of terrible. The video's coming Monday, folks. Hannah didn't like it any more than I did.
No, yeah, you didn't like it either. But the things, it's not specific cars. Some cars visually I hate, visually I like, but I judge all cars by how many knobs they have and like how easy it is to do the things.
She's a real knob girl you got there.
Yep.
Wait,
she likes having four or five knobs at hand.
Yeah. Wait, do you like more knobs or less knobs?
More. Always more.
But I feel like Hannah would like to have more knobs, but she wouldn't actually necessarily have to touch them. She'd be like, no, I just want to know they're there.
Yeah. No. I absolutely want to know they're there. I don't want to like fumble. I want to be able to do the thing.
A volume knob and a scrolly knob are key. And people are getting, car manufacturers are getting away from scrolly knobs. And
we're not talking about dicks?
We're talking about dicks.
Oh, okay.
No.
Wait, can I ask you a car question?
A scrolling nut, yeah.
So, in the play, I play
a
sporty 67 Dodge.
Yes.
Supposedly with a V8 engine. We just did it for Rhyme Scheme.
Yes. It would have a V8 engine.
Would it?
Yeah.
So, what kind of car? Who am I?
Well done.
Am I good?
60, what is Dodge's lineup? 67
Charger.
It would be a Charger.
Right? I'd be a Dodge
Charger.
What's a 67 Dodge?
It's
this
the car,
is a good question,
that's
right?
The car that Dom drives.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's slightly older than Dom's.
Dom's is a 68.
Dom's is a 68 Charger.
Literally, Brad was like, let's write a song from the perspective of a car, and we just started like, I'm a 67 Dodge with the V8 engine.
Can you change it to 68? If you do, then you're actually Dom's car.
Really?
Yeah. Dom's car, this one here, the black one is a 68. So if you can make it 68, then you are cinematically accurate. Or at least cinematically consistent.
And all we care about is the truth here.
Yeah. That's crazy because we literally just guessed.
Well, you got close. You were 1 year off.
Yeah, we lose a syllable. We'll have to think about it.
Oh, Dom's is a 70? Oh, that's right. It had the ugly
67.
Front.
Oh, it's a 70?
Had the ugly front.
Oh, so a 70, you got two syllables there. 67, 70. You could maybe work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll take it. But 60, what's 67?
67 is just uglier, but it was still fast. Still fast. It just didn't look as good.
Oh, damn.
Look, I'm a pretty big nerd, and I saw the play, and I had no issue with it when I saw it.
Okay, good.
Perfect.
Good, I had
no issue.
But I'm just curious if I'm a good car.
This is what you are.
That's what you are, and you're an okay car.
You know, I could be hotter. I definitely
you could. The name of the song to okay yeah. car.
I definitely could be hotter.
Zachary pulled up a picture of a really sad-looking one, too.
That's what they look like, man. I mean, the back is really weird. It's too long. The one they came out with next.
The iconic shape, the Dodge Charger shape that's like from Bullet, like the iconic one, is a year later, the 68. But that's okay. That's the classic Charger shape.
That's
good.
That's the vanishing point. Oh no, that's later. Sorry, excuse me. Vanishing point was later. Anyway, you're close.
I'm close.
For not knowing and guessing, you got awful close.
Yeah, yeah. Brad plays a garbage truck, so I'm doing okay.
And God damn it, I was typecast again.
What else you got, Zach? Anything up there? Oh, yeah. Where can I see this masterpiece?
Oh, my
gosh. Plug the where's and the when's people can buy tickets.
It's only in L.A. right now, but soon it will be worldwide.
Yeah.
Prestige.
Thailand next.
Worldwide. Yeah.
Soon it will be in Thailand with a whole ping pong element.
We can set that up for you.
Come and shoot out of the exhaust pipe.
It's at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles, which is a
weird name for a theater, but it's a good theater.
It is. It's a great theater. It used to be called the Hayworth. It was a classic old LA theater, and then they bought it. I mean, they run it now.
Why? Do you know why it's called that?
There's like a whole backstory to it.
To the Dynasty Typewriter thing?
Yeah, it's like as if it was like a whole old typewriter family. And there's typewriters everywhere there.
There are.
So there's cool set.
Yeah, it's a beautiful old theater. And these comedy guys bought it. And so now it's a lot of stand-up shows. And like part of Adam Sandler's special was there. And you see like all the biggest people will go there.
Zach
now.
And I saw Judah Friedlander there last week.
Oh, a lot of crowd work?
Yeah. It was tough. It was a rough one.
Yeah.
His special is real. His special's edited like the PGA Tour is edited.
Yeah.
action all the time, which I know it's hard to say that about golf, but they don't show them walking down the fairway. They show them hitting.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oof.
Like, I mean, the concept of his special, which was the same as this one, is very, it's really funny. It's his world champion, you know, I'm the man, but now it's like, I'm going to be president.
Right, so it was
really, really good, but he was writing on stage and he wrote on stage for like an hour.
Yeah.
On top of the hour he did before that.
Yes.
So he did a really solid hour of comedy and then an hour of like, bruh.
Yeah. Yeah, that can happen. Especially when you have somebody who does like, even some of the greats, even like Todd Barry, who will do like full crowd work ones, there's stretches where it's like, but then he's the most genius comedian in the world.
Well, what was tough about it was it wasn't just that he was doing slow crowd work. It was that he said like, all right, what's next? Like a bunch of times. Uh-huh. The premise was that he wanted people to shout out issues that he would take a position on when he ran for president. But he probably took 50 to 60 issues.
Wow.
Yeah, like
that's too many issues.
That's a lot. And
Bernie Sanders only has one.
To the point where they got repeated. They kept getting repeated. It's like, dude, when it gets repeated, like, tap out. You know what I mean? Call the game. So anyway, whatever. It was a little rough. But when I saw Opie up in Santa Rosa, I was like, yeah, I saw Judah Friedlander, and it was a bit of a oof. And he's like, oh, I could have told you that.
But
man.
The special last year was amazing.
That's the power of video editing, isn't it? You just slam bit after bit with jump cuts.
Like, well, a lot of the people, when you see an hour special, they actually did an hour and a half or something.
Or they shot
like
it three
times.
Or
they shot three specs.
Yeah. Well, they always do that.
Yeah.
Anthony Jeselnik was on Rogan, and he said that he actually had like a line wrong, so he ADR'd after the fact into the special, like which just dubbed it over a little bit because he said the wrong word. And he's like, fuck, that's just not perfect. Yeah. So he had to do that, but...
I forgive you in a special if you do that. It's okay.
For sure. He had a good
special point.
It's like you're putting it out there forever. Like your name's on this.
Yeah.
Don't just like toss it up and go, all right, let's see how that works.
And it's so difficult to translate the like live events into like a computer screen.
Yeah.
So it's just hard.
I like that Bill Burr is attempting to like direct a little bit and get a little kind of like artsy and stuff with it, and people are sort of trying things with
his
it.
Black and white special is one the of black the best and white specials I've ever
was
seen.
Absolutely.
One of the best top five. It was, for me.
What are your favorite? Are you a comedy fan?
I'm a comedy fan.
What is your favorite special or comedian, if you will?
Brad's yet to be released special. That's my favorite special because of friendship.
So
I'm a little smart. You're a good car, Joey.
He's a very good car. I'm a very mediocre comedian. Joey's not known for his taste in comedy.
Can we come see you do work in L.A.?
Oh,
where do you work in
course.
L.A.? Where do you
All
like to
over.
Work at?
Like on Friday? Well, we're actually going to do some songs at the Comedy Store on Friday on
Are
a show
you?
In the Belly Room. We're just going to play some songs at like a tiny show there.
That's awesome.
Which is going to be really fun. That'll be at the Laugh Factory later that night. I'm all over. I'm at the Laugh Factory sometimes, Improv sometimes, Comedy Store sometimes. I'm up everywhere. I'm not famous. I'm everywhere sometimes.
Perfect.
It's like I'm a guy that they call. It's like if the famous guy can't be there, they call a guy who's been around for. And if that guy can't be there, then they call another guy and then I'm next.
Fucking great. And then what, November 8th at Dynasty Typewriter?
Yeah.
Where can people buy tickets?
Dynasty Typewriter's website.
DynastyTypewriter.com.
Your link on your Instagram right now is actually wrong. It goes to a dead link, but I posted the new one in a comment.
Well, that's good to know.
If they go to DynastyTypewriter.com/calendar and just scroll down to November 8th, and you can buy tickets there.
We will put the link to buy tickets in the description of this podcast.
Thank you so much.
We will
and
fix
Zach's
that.
Going to the November 8th show.
I am.
Maybe I should. Should we go again?
I will give you tickets. You know, one will give you. Will give you guys tickets. Not Zach, though. We already bought one. And we need the money for sure. But
I didn't want to ask. It's not the money that would prevent us from going.
It's the traffic. Obviously.
Yes. You guys, you know, you think of how many cars you can see on the way to our car-related musical.
Yeah.
Now that Hannah's like home from her travel job, she was gone 5 days a week for the last like year and a half, and now that she's home, we're trying to like do things, you know, activities and whatever. But every activity requires fucking driving somewhere miserable at the worst time.
Just go back to James Beach and rekindle the magic and be like, isn't this great? Do you see why I did this?
We just need to go back to James Beach.
Just wear those cargo shorts and sneakers again.
Listen,
you wore cargo shorts for the first date?
And big sneakers. I'm wearing the big sneakers today, the custom NBs. By the way, big sneakers,
custom NBs. Yeah, but back then they were like white on white. They were not
pretty
sneakers.
They weren't white on
white. Yes, they were.
White on
white. If there's one thing I love, it's watching people discuss whether or not it's worth coming back to our musical. Right in front of my eyes.
That's hilarious.
Because of traffic.
That's very funny.
Do you remember we almost turned around and didn't make it?
I know.
To the
musical? Gosh.
No, because of traffic.
Because of traffic.
Actually,
not because of our pre-hatred for you guys.
We went to see Seinfeld in Hollywood, and obviously he murdered for 90 minutes, but his opening 10 minutes are basically about how the audience should congratulate themselves just for getting there, because he knows how hard it is to get to Hollywood and everything.
Yeah.
It's one of the most confident bits I've ever seen a comic do. That was just about how shitty it is to get to his show. It was really fucking
That's
impressive.
One of the reasons I like being a comedian in the city is because I don't have to be places at normal times. So it's like sometimes I'm like, do we have traffic? And then I will get a day job like in production or something, and I'll be like, oh, it's truly a nightmare out here. Yeah. I know why all my friends are so deeply unhappy.
Chris Porter was here last week, and he was like, nah, bro, I just moved up the street from the Comedy Store and ride an electric skateboard.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Genius.
Genius move.
Genius.
Well, that's awesome. Do we have more questions for people before we get out of here? I don't want to leave anybody hanging if we've got anything related. Oh, how's marriage, kittens, and the Delica? Great.
My husband will answer for me.
Are you guys okay?
No, yes, of course. We give each other shit.
My window to put my hand up.
We give each other shit constantly.
That was a great callback.
Thank you.
Yeah. All is right with the world. Thanks for coming in, guys. This was fun.
Thanks for having us.
If I'm in town on November 8th, we'll come back. That's literally the only reason I'm questioning it.
We're going to do another one in December, and you guys never have to come back.
No. You know who we should promote it to? So there's these guys we hang out with who do a car show called Radwood, which is 80s and 90s themed car show. And I was the king of Radwood last year because all of my cars are 80s and 90s. And I think that crowd would be a good target audience for you guys. So we should try and do for December.
They have a very good sense of humor.
December 7th is Radwood, LA at the Peterson Museum. It's a touring show.
Oh, awesome.
When is your December show? Do you know yet?
December 13th.
Yep.
We might be able to set up some kind of a combo for the folks that are local. That'd be amazing. That'd be fun. I'm sure there could be some sort of discounted, or I don't want to give your money away, but some kind of fucking thing. Anyway, yeah. That's our show. Brad and Joey from Fast and Furious, the musical parody. Get tickets at the Dynasty Typewriter Theater. We will put a link in the description of the podcast for you guys. Thank you for coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
For having us.
Hopefully Hannah doesn't leave me on the way home. She's my ride.
Hey. Yeah.
That'd be such a bummer if I see you, if I'm driving home in my minivan and I see you walking on the side of the street, I'd be like, well, we ruined his marriage because Joey was late.
You will not pull over and pick him up.
That's
you will let him walk.
I mean, the seats are stowed and goed. I can't.
Yeah.
They're stowed and gone. That would be a good like Instagram for your van, stowed and gone.
Yeah.
I like that very much. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Oh, did we just put the link on our Facebook?
I did, and I think the memoir of your divorce would be Stow and Go.
Stow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Smoke Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All we need is a microphone, a connection to the internet, and ideally something to say. For those of you with us live, we'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific. My friend Todd Mezzero, TV producer extraordinaire, who makes a bunch of car content, is coming by. And thank you, Brad and Joey. That was excellent.
Thanks for having us.
Didn't know how that
so
was going to go,
guys.
But you guys are just as funny in person as you are when you're scripted.
Hooray.
It's brilliant. Yeah. The Fast and the Furious musical parody is the fucking shit. Go see it. And me and Hannah and Zach and his lady. Are you taking Sarah?
Are you taking Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Hannah.
Has Sarah seen The Fast and the Furious?
Probably like one or two. She might we might have to brush her up a bit. I invited a friend of mine.
In the majority.
A friend of mine hosted the premiere for like
us?
Fast 8.
And that's what I was. Yeah.
I was like, this guy named Coy. I was like, you got to come to this thing.
So oh, Corey?
No.
Different
this
Corey.
Is a stupid reference because no one knows him but me.
Oh.
I have another friend.
What?
I do.
I don't approve.
And he likes Fast and Furious also.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. It's gonna be great.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
It'll be fun. We'll see.
I'm really like hang with us afterwards.
I would love to. I think
is there an after party?
Is there cocaine?
If Brad's around, baby,
is it still happening? Is it still?
I like the Dynasty Typewriter Theater's weird popcorn toppings.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
fucking dank.
You know, very good snacks there.
Yeah.
I know.
Very good snacks
and.
Oh fuck.
And
okay,
La
now
Croix.
You're worse than me now.
And 18 flavors of La Croix.
20-minute story about him showering because if so, I'm in.
Yes. Let's fucking pull the ripcord on this shit, Zach. You got something to say?
So
you're grabbing
things.
The mic.
Oh, I just think it's rad that you guys did this, and it came out of your brain, and then you were working together, and it just grew and grew, and it's so weird and original and funny. But I think it's just. I'm very impressed by it. I think it's rad.
Oh, thanks, man. You haven't even seen it yet.
I know, but I just think it's cool.
It's
going to
be such a bummer when he hates it.
Yeah. Huge letdown.
No, he won't. He will understand. He'll understand the point exactly.
But the good news is he'll tell you if he hates it.
If he hates it, he probably will
tell you. We'll do a post-mortem when I come back on the show. I'll be like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Oh, gosh.
No, but all the time we tell people that, like, you can use your, like, you can use your, like, non-math and science skills for, like, really awesome things, especially in this city. Like, you can do professional arts and crafts. You can do, like, professional like songwriting, you can do all kind of shit with it's like non-traditional here.
Yeah.
Like, but you have to actually get off your ass.
Well, nobody does it, right? And we
That's the thing. That's exactly
the
thing.
We did
the
dumb thing.
You did the thing that most people wouldn't actually take the time to do.
And you did the dumb thing. You made your
also that too.
Yeah, but it's great, and that's why you have a wonderful
talking
about
life. Me?
No, you are the best decision of his goddamn life.
Thank you, Brad.
I got you, baby.
That's it. Let's fucking
tap
out.
I assume you're always talking about
Let's tap out before it goes south. Good fucking night.